Our first reading comes from the stories of wilderness wandering. When the Hebrew people had escaped slavery in Egypt, but found themselves lost in the desert.
Our strength.
Here, their relationship with God is forged.
Amen.
They came to realize their dependence on God for life. Today, they are thirsty,
everywhere.
And God produces water from a rock.
What's the rest of that?
Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 7.
Hmm.
The whole community of the Israelites traveled on their journey from the desert of Sin, according to the Lord's instruction, and they pitched camp in Redim. Now there was no water for the people to drink. So the people contended with Moses, and they said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you test the Lord?"
Stuck in the middle
of the
ocean.
But the people were very thirsty there
unable
for water.
Move.
And they murmured
stranded,
against Moses
and
said,
the ship ran out
"Why
of fresh
in the
water.
World did you bring us
and the crew
up
was
out
beginning
of Egypt
to die of thirst,
to kill us and our children and our cattle
by
with
water
thirst?"
And dying of thirst.
Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What will I do with these
thirst
people?
Is,
a little
is
more,
not
and
really
they will stone me."
We in this part
the
of the
Lord
world
said
very
to Moses,
with.
"Go over before the people,
especially at this time of year,
take
when
with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand
wet.
Your staff with which you struck the Nile.
Unlike
and
the poor
go.
Fellow in the cartoon that
I
saw,
be standing before you
who was
there on the rock
himself
of Horeb,
across the desert,
and you will strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people
oasis,
may drink."
And the last
and
frame
Moses
of the cartoon
did so
shows
in
him
plain view of the elders
way,
of Israel.
Dragging himself all the way to the
he
oasis.
Called the name
when
of the place
there
Massa
is, the
and Meribah.
In the middle of total
because
desert,
of the contending of the Israelites
on a lounge chair
and because
with an umbrella
of their testing
above him sitting right
the Lord,
beside the well, and he turns
saying,
to this guy with this
is the Lord
trail
among
dragging
us
behind
or not?
Him and says to him,
"Today's gospel
like
reading is
sandwich?
The cryptic story of Jesus' encounter with a Samaritan woman at the well. This story
do you have
is
any
filled
idea
with metaphor.
What it's like
water
to
means
be completely
more
without
than water.
Water.
Thirst is
I don't
more than just a physical thing.
Never been there.
In this encounter with Jesus,
have you ever been really, really
listen
thirsty
for the many
and
places in which
water?
You find yourself hearing
maybe a
both
couple
literal and metaphorical yeah. meanings.
Yesterday was
John, chapter
United
4,
Nations World Water Day.
5 to
Did you know
29,
that? It was
and
on the news, smattering of news. Unfortunately, when the,
now he
when
came
the United
to a Samaritan
Nations declares
town called
a particular
Sychar,
day that doesn't immediately
near the plot of the land that Jacob had given to
world,
his
but it does
son Joseph.
Put it out there.
Jacob's well was there. So
the importance
Jesus,
of water
since he was
in the world,
tired
did
from
you
the
know
journey,
that,
sat
that today
right down beside the well.
Nearly
it was
a
about
billion
noon.
People on this planet will walk
a Samaritan
with a
woman
or a
came
bottle.
To draw water.
To get their
Jesus
water.
Said to her, "Give
that's
us some. Give me
happen.
Some water to drink."
Because it doesn't come
any other
way for his
disciples had
them.
Gone off into the town to buy supplies.
Did you know that?
So the Samaritan woman said to
half
him,
billion
"How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan
will,
woman, for water to drink? For Jews
use what the UN is calling unimproved sanitation." I think
Jesus
that means
answered
outhouse.
Them,
or
if you had known the gift of God and who it is who
effect.
Said to you, "Give me some water to drink,"
means they have no
you would have
to go to.
Asked him,
no place
and he
where
would
water
have given you living
sanitation.
Water. Sir, the woman
two
said to him,
billion
"You have no bucket and,
did you know
and the
that
well
Canada
is deep.
Has one
where then do you get this living water? Surely, you are not
and
greater than our ancestor
I'll help
Jacob,
with
are
the
you?
Math on that one. That's 14%
for he gave us this well and drank from it himself along with his sons and his livestock.
Population.
Jesus replied,
that's pretty stunning,
everyone who
hey?
Drinks some of
a
this water will be thirsty again.
Source of abundance.
But whoever drinks some of the water that I will give him will
be
never be thirsty again.
Of such a
but
basic
the water
element. For survival.
But the water that I will give him will become in him
and
a fountain of water
because we
springing
live in this part
up
of the world
to eternal life. The woman said
the
to him,
"Sir, being without water.
Give me this water so that
the
I will not be thirsty
frantic,
or have to come here to draw
feeling.
Water."
The obsession.
He said to her,
"Willing
go
to
call
do
your husband
anything
and come back here
for a little water."
The woman replied, "I have no husband."
That's how it was
Jesus
for the Hebrew people
her,
in the wilderness.
Right, you are when
with
you said,
Moses.
"I have no husband."
As the story goes,
you
they
have
made
had
their
five
fatal
husbands,
miscalculation.
And the man you are living with now is
desert,
not your husband.
And they were desperate.
This
they were frantic.
You said
and
truthfully.
You can just imagine
the woman said
the
to
cry
him,
of children.
"Sir, I see that you
clothes.
Are a prophet.
You can imagine
our fathers worshipped on this mountain.
Animals
and
because
you
they
people
had
say that. That the place where people
time.
Must worship is
older
Jerusalem."
Older people with less reserve
Jesus
being the
said
first
to her,
to really suffer.
"Believe me, woman, a
and
time is coming
at Moses,
when
what? You brought us
you
out
will
into
worship
the desert just
the Father,
to kill us off. It
neither
was way
on this
better
mountain,
for us when we were slaves
in
Egypt.
Jerusalem. You people worship
Moses turns
what
to God
you
for direction
don't know. We
and
worship
out of the rock
what we know
comes
because
water.
Salvation is from the Jews.
Relief.
But a time is coming,
the relief,
and now is here.
The relief of the people.
When the true worshippers
the
will worship
the, leader,
the Father in spirit and truth.
And then
for
water
the Father
takes
seeks
on double
such
and
people
triple meanings
to be his worshippers.
In the Gospel of John.
God is spirit, and the
Samaritan
people who worship him must
woman.
Worship in spirit and truth.
Two reasons.
The woman
right
said
there,
to him, "I know that
Messiah
is coming,
in
the
good
one
standing.
Who called Christ.
Should have nothing to do with
whenever
her.
He comes,
Samaritan.
He will
she's,
tell us everything.
She's one of those
Jesus
long
said to
cut
her,
off cousins
I,
that
the one
we
speaking
don't have
to
anything
you
to do with
he.
Anymore.
Now, at that very moment, his disciples
and she
came
was
back.
A woman.
They were shocked because he was speaking with a woman.
In Jesus' day,
however,
that
no
means
one said,
someone other,
what
someone
do you
else's
want?
Property.
Or, why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her
but Jesus
water jar and went off into the town and said to the people,
and
come
Sir
see
Frederick.
A man who told me everything
and in typical
I ever did.
From John's gospel, they,
surely he
they
can
start
be
to
the
talk
Messiah, can
about
he?
Water that quenches the body's thirst and quenches other kinds of thirsts as well,
verses
thirst for life,
39
thirst for dignity,
to 42.
For community, for peace. Just
now
like
many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of
the
report of the woman
womb,
who testified.
You get this interplay of
he told
of
me everything I
and,
ever
and
did.
Metaphorical meanings.
So when the
and
Samaritans
the
came to him, they began asking him
there.
To stay with them.
And it is revealed that she
there 2 days,
has long
and because
thirsted
of
for life
his
and
word,
for love.
Many more believe.
You have five,
they said
had
to the
five
woman,
husbands, and
no
the man
longer
you are
do
living
we
with
believe because
your
of
clearly,
your words,
you are
for we have heard ourselves,
I,
and we
and more
know
desperate
that this
for,
one really is the Savior
security,
of the world. Hear what the Spirit is saying
the kind
to
of
the
relationship
church.
That will sustain
thanks
life in this culture. Thirstier for that than a desert dweller is for water. And as they stand there beside this ancient well of Jacob, the place where both of their peoples have gone, have gathered for centuries to draw water to quench the most basic of human needs, Jesus names her life, names her thirst, names her place and of alienation in the community, points to the core of her existence and her longing. And even in just doing that, in just naming it, even in having the burden of her life exposed, it is in some measure lifted. Even just having her thirst acknowledged, it is in part quenched. And in the story, as he speaks and names her life, you can almost sense her response as she hears her life being acknowledged. There's almost this in the story. And what does she do? She goes tearing back to the village and says, "You will never believe who I met and what he had to say. He named my life. He told me everything I'd ever done. Can he be the one to bring us back to life as a people? Could he be the one that could quench, that could bring us the kind of water that could quench our thirst for life, for dignity, for justice, for community that lasts?" And what are all of these thirsts that they and we carry? What is this water that Jesus brings? Thirst-quenching, living water? Well, I believe that these thirsts that Jesus addresses are thirsts for things like love, things like intimacy, community, thirsts for purpose and meaning in life, to not just exist, survive, but live. We all are thirsty to not just get by, but to live. No matter what stage of life we're at, we have a day, and we don't just want to make it through. We want to live it. And I think we're thirsty for that. For human dignity and worth. These are basic human thirsts. I said earlier that we know little of thirst in this part of the world. But really, we are a whole lot like the mariner's crew, surrounded by water that does not quench our real thirsts. Surrounded by things that claim to give us control, security, happiness, meaning, and yet we're still thirsty. We're still thirsty for community and for meaning and purpose and love. Surrounded by things that claim to quench that. I've been noticing as I drive around, there's new billboards. I think they're new. Maybe I've been ignoring them or something. But big yellow billboards that I find really quite striking. You may have seen them. It's really quite a simple billboard. It's showing two playing cards, a queen and a king, just your standard playing cards. The queen has a tear running down her cheek, and the king has his head in his hands. And the caption, really simple: "When gambling isn't fun anymore." It's a powerful snapshot of a situation in life, of a social condition that is too common in our society. Gambling gone amok, as it is wont to do. And it destroys lives. It is pervasive in our society, from supposedly harmless games our kids play on the internet, through video lottery terminals, lottery tickets you can buy, right through to casinos. And it offers the hope of a big win. It actually delivers loss. It offers the hope of quenching our thirst for security forever. Like just this one time. It delivers nothing of the kind. even to those who get the big win. Gambling plays on our thirst for security, for comfort, for not having to worry anymore. It plays on our fear of scarcity. And it's not the only thing that plays on our thirsts. Listen to the way advertising plays on so many thirsts, offering community in a bottle of Budweiser, offering youth in a bottle of oil of Olay. We know what it means to be thirsty and to be surrounded by messages. This could quench your thirst. That could quench your thirst. Try this. It will quench your thirst. Jesus said, anyone who drinks of this water that I bring, this water, that is the stuff upon which my life is based, the source of my life, anyone who drinks of this water will never be thirsty again. His kind of water, the water of the gospel, will become in them a spring of water. Become in them. Did you catch that? This kind of water will turn you from a thirsty one to a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. It will reverse the whole process. And you will become not a thirsty one, but a source of living water, gushing up to eternal life. However, there's an irony in this. The irony of Jesus' path, this gospel that he claimed, that he says is going to be living water, is that any thirst for control, security, happiness, meaning is quenched when we step on the path, and the way we step on the path is by releasing control through trust, through risking, through servanthood, laying our lives down for another, through vulnerability. This Lenten journey that we are on is about relinquishment, about giving over to God, about letting go. And that's what gets us on the path that becomes a source of living water for us, that quenches the thirst for all the things that we long for. And Jesus is the model. And the cross is the destination. Our thirst for control is quenched as we let go and trust. Our thirst for security is quenched when we risk and are vulnerable in community. Our thirst for happiness and meaning is quenched as we acknowledge our spiritual emptiness and struggle in community. It all sounds foolish, actually, and it is profoundly countercultural in a world that offers water that does not quench our thirsts. But such is the way of God, such is the way of the gospel, such is the way of the cross. It is the pathway to the wellspring of living water gushing up within us to abundant life. So I invite you to consider the ways in which you thirst for those deeper things that give life meaning and purpose. I invite you to consider those. Consider the way in which the world around you is alluring with water that will not quench your thirst, really, but will have you coming back and back and back. And consider how you might let go and trust that longing to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we are here with our thirsts. You know our lives and the things we love and the things we are afraid of and the things we long for and thirst for. You know the ways we seek to quench our thirst, the times we have tried to satisfy these thirsts with quick fixes that have not satisfied. Oh God, we want to be grounded in you. We want to draw from your well of living water, to feel the deep satisfaction of your life flowing through us. We long to be a part of your gospel lived out in the world of justice and peace. Hear our prayer. Come to our thirsty souls. Give us the courage to resist the allure of the quick fixes. Receive this offering of our desire that our lives and our relationships and our well-being might come from you, O God, our source. Amen.